This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. In moments, the next incoming WHL commissioner has been unveiled. Dan Neer takes over the role in the new year with Ron Robison stepping away. A sit-down introduction chat with Dan is coming up. Hear his thoughts on where he'd like to take the league in the years ahead. The Victoria Royals have a star in the making, 16-year-old forward Cole Reschny. He's coming off a hat trick earlier this week, and it seems the sky is the limit. We'll have more with him. And the Tempo WHL Player of the Week is Medicine Hat Tigers forward Andrew Bascha. He'll close out the show talking Tigers. First up, Dan Neer has been named the next WHL commissioner. The Adidas hockey executive and former NHL marketing professional will be working out of the WHL office in the new year. WHL communications and content manager Cammy Koepke sat down with Dan for WHL This Week.
First off, congratulations on the new job. What initially drew you to the league?
Well, first, thank you. It's incredible to be here in Calgary. My family's been talking about this and excited about this for some time. And so I've been watching you. I've been watching all your content. I'm ready for this. I think I can handle it. But, you know, what drew me to the league, I think, is the incredible opportunity to associate myself with the best development league in the world. You know, everything that's going on with the game right now, it's unquestionably where the best prospects are coming to play. And what an honor it is to be here, to have a chance to influence the future of the league, to collaborate with the stakeholders here today, the business partners, the hockey ops teams, the content creators, and hopefully have an influence on where this game goes. I think that's a big part of what I hope to accomplish here, is to make an impact, to leave it better than where I started.
And you're originally from Markham, Ontario, definitely a place known for producing hockey players. How did you get into hockey growing up and as a player and eventually on the business side?
So I grew up playing like really most Canadians do, but I did a lot of things. It was in the height of the Blue Jays World Series runs, and I wanted to play baseball. I actually ended up going to Western in London to play college football, which lasted about a year before I moved on to other things. But hockey was always part of my life. I played at St. Andrew's College in Aurora, Ontario. We were runners-up at the OFSA provincial tournament 2 out of the 3 years I played on the varsity team. And so hockey's always been in my blood. But it was clear early on that I was never going to play major, junior, or NHL. So I thought the idea of maybe carrying a league business card might be the next best thing, having a league email address. And I do remember the first day when I worked at the National Hockey League in New York of sending an email from that email address and saying, wow, this is pretty cool. And so we've been talking this week about getting my WHL email set up and doing the same thing here, because hockey has been really part of my life as long as I can remember. You know, I have an uncle who won a Memorial Cup with the Cornwall Royals in maybe 79, played with Dale Hawerchuk and Dan Daou. And so there's a lot of hockey in my family. And so I'm excited to be able to leave my mark on the game in a different way.
You mentioned the NHL. You spent a decade there in revenue and branding. How does that experience translate to the WHL?
So it was, each step of my career has really been a dream come true. I never really thought I'd be going into Manhattan, working at the NHL headquarters with all of these executives who you know about and hear about and are influencing the game. But I think that one of the things about the sport of hockey, particularly in the U.S., is it's an underdog sport. It's a sport that you got to get into the arena to see it, to understand it, to feel the passion and energy around it. And I started to capture that. I started to see it. And I started to listen and understand how fans are consuming the game and the way that people think about our sport. And so I hope what I can bring is a way of thinking that is a little innovative, a little creative, maybe even unorthodox in some cases. But this idea that we should be trying things. We should be making sure that while we cater to the history and heritage and honor that exists in this sport, that we're also thinking of what are the new ways to attract fans, to bring a new audience in. What is Gen Z thinking about the way that we do things? And I think that'll be an important part of what we do. I really admire the education program here. I haven't had experience in major junior before. It's been professional, and this idea of the notion that every player in our league is guaranteed a scholarship, the idea that 350 players, ex-players this year, are now pursuing post-secondary education funded by the owners, funded by the clubs, I think is a really cool dimension of what we do. So you start to fuse the on-ice, the off-ice, and then starting to think about what our consumer and what our fan is looking for. I think that it's a really potent combination and is going to be a really fun, hopefully, long tenure here.
You mentioned innovation, creativity. So in your time with Adidas, one of the highlights seems to be bringing in the reverse retro jerseys, which brought in a really cool streetwear kind of feel to the NHL. Do you foresee trying to bring ideas like that to the Dub?
So I would love to bring ideas like that to the Western League. Reverse retro was something that was really a combination of dozens of ideas that we brought together. We invited the Commissioner Bettman, Bill Daly, and a group of his senior executives to Adidas Creative Farm, it was called, in Brooklyn, New York. And it was a really cool place. Ludacris was there that day doing some other creative exercise. Our basketball designers were in another area. And so we brought the league executives in there, and we created a design studio. And we showed them a whole bunch of different concepts, everything from Pride Night concepts to the helmet decals that were worn during the outdoor games to, you know, we had an idea about the Tragically Hip and a Gord Downie tribute moment. And, you know, and reverse retro was one of those concepts that we presented. And what was so special about that is, again, honoring and respecting the heritage of the game. So there was true authenticity in what we were doing. But we were doing things that the average season ticket holder or someone who revered the brand might be a little uneasy, a little uncomfortable with. And I think that we need to be contemplating that when we think about how do we bring a new audience in? How do we ensure we're doing things that are relevant to communities beyond the people who are in our rink every night? Not to alienate them, but to expand the pie. And so I certainly hope, whether it's in the area of uniforms and branding or whether it's in other areas of the game, that we can collaborate, that we can try new things, that we can bring in partners. And we'll never know what the line is as far as how much creativity we can bring to the game unless we don't cross it. We'll have to cross it a few times. And guess what? We're not going to get every single thing right. But if we can be right 90% of the time, and start to understand where tolerance levels are, what are the types of things that work, what will bring more people into our buildings, what creates a better player experience, I think that's a win.
What are some of your top priorities coming in?
My top priorities? Well, I think that establishing some continuity around the things that we're doing well. Remember where I started this conversation? We're the best development league in the world. And so I think that we need to protect our flank. In that regard, we need to continue to be the best on-ice product. We need to be the best choice for families. And so that connects to off-ice. That connects to the scholarships. That connects to the billet families. It connects to the player experience. I think we've got a lot of great things going there that we have to continue. I think that we also have to figure out how we can be a viable place for a U.S.-born player. I would like to see more U.S.-born players in the western part of the country choosing the Western Hockey League because it's an incredible opportunity. It's an incredible gateway for them to become a prospect for the National Hockey League. And if it doesn't work out, to continue their education in a way that is low risk. And so I think that so those are some of the things ahead that I have my eyes on.
And you're following in the footsteps of the longest-serving commissioner in league history. What do you think Ron Robison's legacy will be?
Well, I think that I could go on for quite a long time about that, but I think that the two things that really stand out to me are the work he's done with the education program. And there's no question that we're setting players up for success when they're finished here in the Western League. And that's no small feat, and it comes with the collaboration and commitment and buy-in of the owners. There's $2.5 million being spent this year to fund 350 alumni's post-secondary education. And Ron's been at the center of that and at the heart of it. And so that's one. And then the other piece of it that I'm still learning a lot about is Ron has done a lot of work with the Respect Group, with Sheldon Kennedy, ex-WHL player, around making an impact around hockey culture, around setting standards, around zero tolerance for any of the things that could be deemed to offer bias, a lack of inclusivity, and that type of thing. And I admire the work Ron has done. My commitment is to continue that work, to keep us at the forefront as it relates to what our role is in setting hockey culture for the future and expecting everyone associated with our league to abide by that and to believe in it.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, Dan, and good luck with the move north.
Thanks so much. It's been great.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
Well, Cole Reschne is the name you'll be hearing more in the years ahead. He's only 16. He's starting to be a regular contributor with the Victoria Royals. He's fresh off representing Canada at the World Under-17 Challenge in PEI. I caught up with Cole on the island.
Cole Reschne is having a great 16-year-old season in the WHL so far, nearly a point-a-game player. Cole, I chat with you after a 14-game point streak. Did you think that life in the WHL as a 16-year-old would be this easy so far?
No, I definitely didn't think it was going to be easy. It hasn't been that easy, but just playing with guys, I think certain guys kind of helped me out to get those points. But no, it's definitely not easy. It's a tough league, definitely a jump, but I think I've adapted pretty well.
Let's talk about the players you have been playing with. Sometimes it's great for a young player to come in and be paired to some veterans, you know, make them feel more comfortable, allow you to make some plays. Who's it been this year for you?
Yeah, it's kind of been Dawson Pastrnak ever since he came in. He's an older guy. He's a great player to play with. He's undersized, but he's very smart, fast, skilled. I think we complement each other very well. He's a very smart player, so it's nice to have a guy like that on your line.
You're from Macklin, Saskatchewan. You're a guy that came in and played four games last year with the Royals, and that has to be a huge help going into this season, knowing the surroundings, knowing Victoria. I mean, this is a pretty big jump for a Prairie guy to come to the island and play some hockey.
Yeah, exactly. Those last year, those four games definitely helped me kind of getting a feel for the league, you know, how the game's played and how big the guys are, how much faster and stronger I get to get. So, yeah, that was a big part of my summer after playing those four games.
Now let's talk about being in Victoria, playing in this city. You know, it's a great WHL market. The team is starting to come out now after, you know, a few years of missing the playoffs here. What's the vibe like in Victoria? What's it like here?
No, it's great. It's obviously an unbelievable city, beautiful and a great city to play hockey in. Honestly, couldn't ask for a better city to play in, and I'm very happy with it so far. So yeah, it's like you said, it's a great city.
Pretty important road trip coming up in the new year, right? A chance to go back home, and you smile when I say that because I know how important it is to play some Western Hockey League games near your hometown or, you know, in a city like Saskatoon where you played some minor hockey. You must be looking forward to hitting the road in January.
Yeah, no, exactly. I've had that start on my calendar ever since the start of the season, but yeah, no, I definitely can't wait for that trip. I know all the Sask guys on our team can't wait too, but yeah, no, I think it'll be a big road trip for us, and it would be a fun one.
You flew over Saskatchewan already to get to PEI, and that was for the World Under-17 Challenge where you played for Team Canada Red. You had a good tournament. I know you guys didn't win, but that's an experience I think you look forward to as a 16-year-old, right? Like, I don't want to say highlight of the year, but that's a pretty big event.
Yeah, no, definitely. All summer, that's what I was working for in the start of the season, and I was kind of pretty grateful to be selected and play in that tournament. It was a very special tournament to play in. Lots of great guys playing with old buddies there too, and getting to hang out with them. So no, that was great. A very, very competitive tournament, and obviously we didn't get the result, but no, it was a great experience. That first kind of taste of Canada hockey and playing at the international level.
I'm not sure how aware you are, but that puts you on sort of that path for Canada's World Junior team when you get older. I know you're 16, but it comes up awful quick here. Playing for Canada, wearing the Maple Leaf, you know, maybe at a World Junior level sometimes. Does that motivate you? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, that's definitely, even ever since a little kid, I've always wanted to do that. So, yeah, that was obviously a great start just to kind of get into the program of excellence there and get a little taste of it. But, no, yeah, it's definitely an honor to wear the Maple Leaf at a tournament like that. And World Junior will be definitely one of my goals, playing as a junior hockey player.
Well, when you came into the WHL, did you have some role models in this league that you wanted to play like, or, you know, knew or maybe skated with in the summer and thought, you know, that'd be pretty neat. I want to see what I can take from their game and bring that into my first year in my WHL career.
Yeah, I skated with Connor McLennan for a while now, and he's obviously a great player in this league. He wasn't very big either, so no, I tried to just look what he did and see how much success he had, and kind of play like that. Obviously, we're a bit of different players, but no, he's not that big of a player. But yeah, so he had a lot of success in this league, so I looked at that, and that motivates me too.
Yeah, that's a good one to look up to for sure. You're in Victoria. The Royals have undergone a coaching change. You're starting to emerge here. We mentioned as we talk here, a few games over 500. You're right in the middle of the conference. You're second in the BC division. What's the mood and the feel around what this Royals team is capable of this year, Cole?
Yeah, I know all the guys are pretty excited. Obviously, we're having a good bounce back season so far. The coaching change has helped too, and I think it's great to have a guy like James Patrick come in and teach us some new things. I think all the guys have been working hard for this, and they want to make the playoffs this year. So that's our main goal, and we're all striving for that.
Colt, you got some exciting years ahead in this league, and we'll watch you develop as it goes on. Thanks for being our guest here on WHL This Week.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
The Medicine Hat Tigers have some weapons, one being NHL draft-eligible forward Andrew Bascha. He's the Tempo WHL Player of the Week after registering 4 goals and 2 assists in 2 games. Voice of the Tigers, Gino DiPaoli, has more.
Bash, it's been quite the start for you guys, and it's always interesting. I always like to see it when you're in on the score sheet and highlighted with your Player of the Week honors. You have another 4-goal game. It's the second time in your career you've got a 4-goal game in your career, both at home ice. But just take me through that performance that it was against the Brandon Wheat Kings and how it came about, and you know how things were going for yourself, and now finding you're in a spot where you've got 31 points on the season so far.
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, you know, anytime, you know, even any sport you play, anytime, you know, the puck or the ball or whatever is kind of going in like that every time, just seems like everything's going right in those games. And, you know, fortunately, like you said, you know, I've done it before, and it's certainly always a good feeling. And, you know, I think, you know, the best part about that is, you know, you're really putting your mark on the game and giving your chance, you know, your team a really good chance to win that game. So, you know, just, you know, happy to, you know, have gotten, you know, that win or that game, and, you know, obviously a great feeling. So,
kind of looking at that, you get to 3, yeah, hat trick, you've had a good night, maybe you pack it in, you don't, and you get that late one to make it 4. You know, at what point do you kind of look, okay, I can go for 4 here, I got a shot at this?
I mean, I don't know if it... You know, I think I try not to, you know, maybe think about what I want or I want 4 or you know, I think any game you try not to really think about that. And for me, I just try to kind of take it one shift at a time. But you know, I think you know maybe once I got to 3, I think you know I kind of knew it. You know, it's maybe possible because I had done it before, but I wasn't really too worried about it. You know, I guess it just happened. So.
Through the year, teams shuffle lines, but this year it's been you, Tyler McKenzie, and Caden Lindstrom since practically the drop of the puck against Calgary. And Caden's up to 20 goals now. Tyler McKenzie, your captain, getting in on the double digits. You're close to it. You're 31, or you were 32 points now. You're just back of Caden Lindstrom. Just how like that group, that three. I wasn't sure if it was going to be that line at the start of the year, but it's just sort of created itself on its own. And you know, what has it been like playing with the captain and a talent like Caden, who's you two have the exact same goal right now with being successful with this group, but obviously there's some NHL draft aspirations here coming up in the summer?
Yeah, you know, they're both very good players and you know, great people. So you know, I kind of knew all summer that I was gonna be playing with Caden. You know, wasn't sure about you know who our line mate was gonna be, and you know, guess, you know, like you said, just kind of came in and that's what it was. And, you know, we've played some really good hockey together and, you know, we found some great chemistry and, you know, Tyler's, you know, it's been good. It's been, you know, kind of a breakout start for him a little bit in a sense. And, you know, it's great to see, you know, he's a great leader for us. And, you know, obviously with Caden, he's you know, he's a great player and a beast out there. And, you know, like you said, we share the, you know, the exact same goals, you know, for this year especially. So, you know, we're just, you know, looking to, you know, continue playing good and continuing to, you know, build our game and grow our chemistry. And, you know, like you said earlier, we're, you know, just about a third into the season. So, you know, tons of hockey to be played. And, you know, I still think we have a lot more to show. So
that kind of leads into my next point is that, you know, there's so much more hockey to be played and a lot can go right and a lot can go wrong. And, you know, what's going to be kind of the difference here as we get in that final stretch before Christmas. And then we saw what this team did last year when Christmas is where you had to turn it on to try and make the playoffs. But it's a little bit of a different story this time and you're trying to make that next step and, you know, win a round, potentially two. And, you know, there's always championship aspirations with this group coming in. And just kind of how this stretch and going into the new year is going to look like for the Massanutt Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've certainly had a great start, but I think that, you know, that's no reason to kind of lay off the gas pedal. I mean, you know, this league, there's too many good teams, and, you know, it's too deep of a league to, you know, take any nights off. So, you know, kind of as we spoke about earlier, you know, coming off a tough loss like Swift Current, you know, games like these on the weekend are what is kind of going to define us. And, you know, we need to make sure that we can get these two. And, you know, like you said, we you know, we made the playoffs. We made that jump last year. And, you know, that second half was a bit of a whirlwind. You know, it was pretty crazy getting to the playoffs there. So, you know, we're just looking to, you know, not really trying. We don't want to break our backs in a situation like that. You know, we want to make sure we're getting the wins early to make our lives a bit easier, you know, once it comes that time. So just being ready every night is what's most important for us.
Now more to yourself here. You're ranked as a B skater with plenty of room to climb up the rankings. You came in as an 05 and a fifth round pick of the Tigers a few years ago, and you started the year as an underager with the South Alberta Hockey Academy. You get called up to the big club in a tough season that it was, and it evolves from there. You have a great season last season. You're just building off of that as well going into this one. What's that been, that development process been like for yourself to get to the point that you're at now, and you're seeing the work that you've put in probably ever since you were a little kid to now with an opportunity to hear your name called in Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, I've never lost focus of, you know, what my goals are and my dreams and all that. And, I knew that, you know, I always knew that, you know, this year was, you know, going to be my first year of draft eligibility. And, you know, I've been working towards this, you know, since I was a little kid. So, like you said, you know, when I kind of got sent back to, you know, Saha, I was certainly disappointed, but, you know, I still say that, you know, without that, I certainly wouldn't be where I am right now. So I really am grateful for the opportunity that I had. Kind of that whole 16 season was laid out very well for me, and getting to come up and get, you know, maybe more opportunity than I would on a different club that was doing better. So, you know, it was just another year and another chance for me to learn. And last year, I think, you know, I had goals of, you know, certain goals, and some I hit, some I didn't. And, you know, that's just part of it. And, you know, same thing with this year is, you know, just making sure that, you know, I'm working hard and not, you know, getting caught up in all that draft stuff, you know, just trying to, you know, take it day by day. And, you know, saying that it's certainly an exciting time is, you know, having the opportunity to, you know, maybe be picked by an NHL club is something that, you know, is unbelievable. So,
Bash, appreciate doing this, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks, Gino.
Hey, that's the show this week. Big thanks to our guests, and a special thanks to Cammy Koepke in the WHL office and Gino in Medicine Hat. Thanks very much. I'm John Keane. Have a great weekend.